while flies would continue to thrive and perhaps will continue to thrive if we disappear, the opposite is not true. If flies were to disappear, the Earth's ecosystems would collapse into chaos and we would go down with them.
That's Jonathan Balcom, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Jonathan Balcom is a biologist with a PhD in ethology, the study of animal behavior, and is the author of four popular science books on the inner lives of animals, including the best-selling What a Fish Knows. He joins us to talk about Superfly, the unexpected lives of the world's most successful insects. Jonathan, welcome to the program.
Good to be here, Dan. Thanks for having me.
So I guess the first question is why? Why did you want to write this book about flies?
I'm always drawn to unpopular animals, and flies are unpopular with us. But really, when you probe into their lives, there's a lot to like. There's a lot to be fascinated by. They're an incredibly successful group of animals. You know, insects are 80% of all the animal species on Earth, and flies are 160,000 described species and probably five times that many. And there's estimated to be about 20 million flies for every human, and they're on every continent. So they're a pretty important force of nature.
So that many, we're definitely outnumbered, first of all. But you said per human, that amount. What's the best guesstimate on how many flies exist at any given moment?
Oh, I'm trying to remember that number. I think it's in the quadrillions, maybe. So, one with maybe 12 or 15 zeros after it, 15, I think. So just suffice to say, astronomical numbers.
As you mentioned, there are many, many different types of flies, and they are simultaneously our worst enemies and our best friends. Tell us more about that.
Well, that speaks a little bit to one of the many benefits we get from flies, and that is as members of food chains. You know, flies are, because of their abundance that we were just talking about, because of how many there are and that they're all over the place, not surprisingly, they're really critical elements of food chains. That is to say, they consume food lower down on the food chain, particularly microbes that are not available to animals higher up in the food chain. The flies and other insects provide an important bridge for that nutrient to become available to birds and mammals and reptiles and fishes and what have you. So both as feeders themselves and as food for other animals, they're really important. And perhaps the most important thing that has to be mentioned about flies is that they're ranked second only to bees as pollinators. They do a huge pollination service. This is, you know, food for us. So we really need them in that role.
What can you tell us about the physical variety of flies? For example, what is the largest fly?
I'm not sure which is the actual biggest. There's some robber flies that get really big, you know, 2.5 inches long, which for a fly is pretty scary big. There's a Midas fly that is a similar size. Robber flies are predatory. Fortunately, they don't go after us, but the biggest species have been known on rare occasions to take down a hummingbird, which is pretty remarkable for an insect.
That is wild to imagine. We know a lot about flies, I guess, and probably still a lot that we still need to learn. But what do we know about a fly's cognitive abilities?
Yeah, it's a fascinating area of research. And it's only recently that scientists have really been kind of going there. I think we've just assumed that there's not really much, if anything, going on. And that appears not to be the case. Consider that insect brains are differentiated into structures like so-called mushroom bodies, which handle learning and memory, a central complex, which handles spatial information and organizes movement, and a protocerebrum, which connects brain regions and collects sensory information. And studies show that flies actually have an attention span, that if you tether a fruit fly and put her or him in a rotating drum, and then you monitor brain activity, when a symbol comes by on the rotating drum, there's a burst of brain activity. And if the symbol continues to go by and it's the same symbol, the burst becomes smaller and smaller. The animal loses interest because it's a monotonous stimulus. But if you change the symbol, say from an X to a circle, then you get a renewed burst of activity because it's a new stimulus. And the fly is also less easily distracted when paying attention. So these are the hallmarks of attention, and flies show that.
Well, another thing that anyone who's ever tried to swat a fly knows is they can be incredibly evasive in their flight patterns. What can you tell us about their flight abilities?
Yeah, they're not called flies for nothing. They are superb aerialists. You know, when we consider that a housefly can land on a ceiling, you know, you think in detail how that's done. It's pretty remarkable skill to flip over and then grab on to the ceiling. And flies, you know, they're very athletic that way. And the wings have actually been co-opted into other uses as well. In addition to flying, they use their wings, males do, for courtship. They actually sing songs to females. They fan them, which may help to spread the sort of perfumes, pheromone perfumes to the female, which will hopefully get her in the mood. And there's even one fly that has asymmetrical wings. The males have one wing slightly bigger than the other. And there's any number of theories as to why that might have evolved when you'd think that flying is the most important reason to have symmetrical wings. Apparently, sex can take priority over flying for some species.
You also write that flies, not only have we studied them, but because of the way we've been able to study them, they've contributed a lot to our scientific knowledge. Tell us more about that.
Well, the most salient aspect of science that they've helped is genetics. And genetics is a pretty broad and very important aspect of human enterprise. Consider that flies have played a key role in 7 Nobel Prizes awarded in medicine in the last 100 years or so, including the most recent. Fruit fly genetic research was critical for the development of this CRISPR gene editing technology, which won the Nobel Prize in 2020. 2 women, 1 American and 1 French.
There's so much more in this book we won't have time to talk about, but I'm curious, what do you hope readers will take away from this book and in terms of how it will shape their perception of flies?
I hope they'll come away with, at the very least, an appreciation for the need for diversity of life on this planet. That we've lost 50% of all insects in the last 50 years, and a lot of it's because of pesticides and climate change and habitat change and this sort of thing. We really need them. We need them out there. They play such a critical role because of their abundance and diversity. And while flies would continue to thrive and perhaps will continue to thrive if we disappear, the opposite is not true. If flies were to disappear, the Earth's ecosystems would collapse into chaos and we would go down with them.
The book is Superfly, The Unexpected Lives of the World's Most Successful Insects. It's by Jonathan Balcom. Jonathan, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
If you'd like to hear more interviews in our Conversations collection on a wide variety of topics, you can find them at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. You can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes, and you can also find us on Facebook. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.